Good Thursday, everybody. Welcome into the Rundown on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on the Game Nashville app. What's going on? Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth at our home studios, and Marquise Munson is back at the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Ryan, good morning.
How are you, Chaser?
Man, I'm feeling good. It's Thursday. I was just telling Marquise that I feel like this week has flown by. So, you know, that's good. That means there's a lot going on. We've had the draft to talk about, but then there's news to start the day this morning. So let's just get right into it.
Let's do it. Cincinnati
Bengals have announced, according to Adam Schefter, that they are releasing quarterback Andy Dalton after, I believe, 9 seasons that he has been at the helm of that offense. He will be a free agent. Joe Burrow is the starter in Cincinnati, or at least it appears that way. I don't really know what else you're going to do.
I mean, this was predictable with the pick of Joe Burrow, and according to Tom Pelissero, Andy Dalton asked for his release. So this opens up the Joe Burrow era to officially begin in the Queen City in Cincinnati, and who knows where Andy Dalton's going to end up. I mean, a lot of people on Twitter right now are thinking – we're speculating it could be the New England Patriots, so that he can push Jarrett Stidham and those two can battle for a starting spot. Some other people think maybe Jacksonville, but you know, I kind of feel like Jacksonville is content to suck this year so that they can get Trevor Lawrence.
Well, the question is, because I saw reports yesterday that Bill Belichick reportedly would endure a rough season, a couple of rough patches, in order to possibly land Trevor Lawrence. So is Belichick willing to tank for Trevor? I don't know if you really do that if you sign Andy Dalton.
Even though the Patriots defense suffered a lot of loss in the offseason, I still feel like that team is too good to be 2-14 or 3-13.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But it would be interesting to see if that truly was the plan, what other moves Belichick would be willing to make, because
almost like the year in between Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck for the Colts.
Yeah. Well, and you could almost see, I don't know if I see a complete fire sale like Miami did, but I could, if that was the plan, you're going to start seeing him trade off maybe some assets to try and make that team as bad as they can be and accumulate draft picks. But I don't know. I don't know if I truly believe that Belichick would do that, but Trevor Lawrence is one of those talents that you would be willing to do just about anything to get him on your team. I will say this about Andy Dalton. I think there's something left in the tank. I never thought he was the true franchise, going to win you multiple Super Bowls, a Super Bowl guy, but I think he's definitely a solid player, solid quarterback. If he doesn't land a starting job somewhere and I'm John Robinson, I do make a call. I think him as a backup quarterback would be totally fine here in Nashville. That's just my opinion. I don't know where you stand on that. I think he's going to do what he can to try and get at least land at a place he can compete for a starting job. Mm-hmm. That would not be here. But if it looks like he's only going to be a backup, I would take a look.
Well, that's certainly a valid point. And if Andy Dalton is asking for his release, then you would assume that he's thinking the way that you just said he probably is thinking, and that he wants to compete for a starter spot. And more power to him. I mean, he has an above 500 record in his career. You know, I know I've trashed Andy Dalton a lot in recent years, but he did take the Cincinnati Bengals to 4 straight postseasons, which, you know, no other Cincinnati Bengals quarterback can say that. I mean, he took a putrid franchise and took them at least to the playoffs and won a couple of two divisions in there. Between 2012 and 2015. So, you know, I would almost compare him to being like the Butch Jones of NFL quarterbacks, where he took the Cincinnati Bengals from rock bottom and took them to a respectable level, but was never good enough. And it was obvious that he wasn't good enough to take them to another level to actually advance in the playoffs.
Floyd Reese coming up at 9:15, so we'll get his thoughts on that. Other news, the Tennessee Titans have made a signing, Ryan, but not the one that everybody thought.
It starts with a J, and he plays defense.
It's true, but not Jadeveon. According to Jocina Anderson of ESPN, Jonathan Joseph has agreed to sign a contract, a 1-year deal with the Tennessee Titans, the cornerback. He's 36 years old. He's been with the Texans for a long time, so he knows the division, stays in the AFC South. But I look at this and I go, I know that they could probably still use some depth on corner, but what's left for Jonathan Joseph?
I think it's a valid question with Jonathan Joseph, but from just a veteran presence point of view, I think this does make some sense, where he's played with Mike Vrabel before, you know, in Houston while Vrabel was an assistant coach there. So that makes sense. He can be a mentor to Christian Fulton, who you're relying on to play a lot of key snaps this year. And apparently Jonathan Joseph is a friend of Jadeveon Clowney's. I we didn't know that until yesterday after Joseph signed with the Titans, but maybe the fact that they signed Jonathan Joseph is another carrot to bring Jadeveon Clowney here to Nashville. I still don't think we're going to learn anything on Clowney for a long time because of the physical aspect of Clowney. But look, you're not going to expect much out of a 36-year-old corner, but you're also expecting him to just be your fourth or fifth guy. So I think it makes sense. You know, if you were to re-sign Logan Ryan, you're spending a lot more money on Logan Ryan. You can depend on him a lot more. But I think this officially closes the door on Logan Ryan, and they're trying to get that or use that money on Clowney.
Yeah, look, I'm going to say this too. I know the list is on Fridays on Darren Donick and Chase, but I'm putting Pro Football Talk on it now because it was Diana Russini. I was like, I thought I read that yesterday. That she had tweeted out.
Well, here's the funny thing about that is that Diana Russini was the first one to tweet that she was texted by Jonathan Joseph, because immediately after Diana Russini tweeted it, Josina Anderson tweeted it, someone from NFL Network tweeted it, and they all said, Jonathan Joseph texted me saying that he has signed a one-year deal with
everybody.
The Titans. Yeah,
he,
oh yeah.
He didn't
he
text
sent,
me.
Yeah, he sent a group text to many reporters.
Well,
and Diana Russini, to her credit, was on her phone when she got the text, and she had the fastest thumbs to tweet it out.
I love the idea of having another veteran in there to mentor Christian Fulton and to work with Adoree Jackson, the rest of the corners in there. I don't look for, you know, you use the phrase impact player, and I just don't think he's still an impact player. But a nice piece. It's a one-year deal. We'll see what the money says, but I don't think it's a huge deal.
No, I don't think so either, but he knows what Vrabel wants to do on defense, and the fact that he knows that in a period of time where you're not going to get a lot of hands-on time and practices or OTAs before the preseason starts, I think they looked at that as being a valuable trait to Joseph as well.
The NHL and the NHL Players Association made a statement yesterday. Obviously, a lot of rumors flying around on when the NHL could return to play, and those two organizations have to be on the same page, Ryan, but they made a statement. What all did they have to say?
Let me bring that up.
Well, I got it right here. Despite numerous reports and speculation over the last several days, the NHL and the NHLPA have not made any decisions or set a timeline for possible return to play scenarios. Given recent developments in some NHL clubs' local communities, we're now looking ahead to a phase two of the transition period that would follow the currently recommended phase one period of self-quarantine by players and hockey staff. The precise date of transition to phase two, during which players might return to small group activities in NHL club training facilities, remains undetermined. However, provided that conditions continue to trend favorably and subject to potential competitive concerns as between disparately situated markets, if I can spit that out, we believe we may be able to move to phase two at some point in the mid to later portion of May. Specific guidelines governing player and hockey staff activity would be provided at that time. In the meantime, we expect players and hockey staff to continue to adhere to the recommended guidelines put in place when the season was paused on March 12th. The return to play committee will continue to meet regularly. That from the NHL and the NHLPA.
Yeah, so phase two, just so everybody knows, phase two is kind of a slower build to getting teams back together. Phase two, I believe it was noted in the statement, is basically the players getting together in smaller groups for team training camps or team training centers, you know, maybe groups of 5 to 8 out on the ice at once, in the locker room at once. So phase two would be a great step to get to sooner rather than later. Obviously, it's not going to happen for another couple weeks here. But once you get to phase two, I think that's when we start hearing a lot more smoke when it comes to what the NHL plans to do to bring NHL back and try to finish the postseason. Because right now, there's just a lot of dart throwing. A lot of different ideas being bandied about as we've discussed this entire month. But once phase two gets here, then I think we're going to start cooking with gas.
Yeah, I think that just got to continue to be patient. I know that's tough for everybody. I know some players are probably starting to lean towards, okay, this probably isn't going to happen. I'm in off-season mode now. That's what's so difficult, is it's hard for them to get back in that. I mean, they can, but you got to go through the whole training process again and mentally and getting yourself into that mode of playing a season, and not to mention jumping into the playoffs.
Well, this also goes for just society as a whole. We're hearing positive things about the sports world and the fact that these leagues – organizations are putting together some soft plans or ideas. We're hearing more about that here in the last week or so than we had been in the previous month. But it's important to not jump the gun here as a society and keep doing everything that the doctors are asking us to do so that we can get to these steps sooner and we're not sitting here 2 weeks from now saying, you know, the NHL has put off phase two for another couple weeks, or NASCAR is having to push back their projected start date of sometime in later May, PGA Tour, all of that. So important for everyone to keep, you know, practicing the social distancing, and really it's physical distancing.
Yeah.
Keep practicing it, and the sooner that we can get through this, the quicker we'll get to being able to watch live sports.
So a lot to digest this morning. Even though sports aren't being played, there's still a lot of news that keeps coming out, and there's even more that we'll get into a little later on in the show. But when we come back, Ryan, the GM, Floyd Reese, you hear him on Jared and the GM 2-6 weekdays. He will join us. We'll get his thoughts on the draft and other news and notes surrounding the Titans and the NFL. We'll do that next here on The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You know what tomorrow is? It's Free Business Friday. Do you own a small business? Are you open and want to let people know about that? Then Free Business Friday on 102.5 The Game is for you. Tomorrow we're offering free advertising to local businesses that are safely open and working. This is a no-cost, no-catch offer. Visit thegamenashville.com/FBF for more information. Free Business Friday is our way of supporting small businesses as we get through this together. From your friends at ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into The Rundown. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson. Let's say hello to Floyd Reese. You can hear him 2-6 weekdays on Jared and the GM here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Floyd, good morning.
Good morning, guys. I was just talking with Marquise. It seems like I haven't seen you guys in years.
Yeah, I don't remember what you look like. I've seen all these pictures that the Titans have been posting, but that's all I got. That's all I got these days. So it's been a while seeing you walk around in the hallways. But let's start with the news that came out this morning. It's not Titans related, but obviously a quarterback now, another free agent quarterback, the Bengals releasing Andy Dalton. When you look at him and his career, what he's done in Cincinnati, you know, I feel like there's definitely something left. I think he could probably be a fringe starter in this league. But as a GM, what do you see in Andy Dalton, and where do you think he lands?
Yeah, I think the key phrase you used there was in Cincinnati. You know, if you can go in there and work with that franchise and find a way to make the playoffs 5 years in a row or whatever they did, that then, you know, you were doing something. It's like we were talking about with Lewis when he was a coach. You know, people were griping, and I kept saying, you know what, hang on to him. He's a good coach. Hang on to him. He's a good coach, because it takes a special kind of person to fit into that organization and have moderate success, let alone, you know, good success. So I think from that standpoint, you have to be excited about him. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up, you know, in some place like New England, where he can go in there. And if he were to be lucky enough to end up there, he would believe that he had ended up in heaven. So work out well for him.
Does Bill Belichick, you know Bill Belichick, does he strike you as the type that would tank on a season to try and land a player like Trevor Lawrence?
No. He wouldn't tank on a practice. I mean, there is absolutely no way. No, he would. Now, he may find a way to trade up or get enough draft choices he could trade up or do whatever, but no. I mean, it's, you know, loss to those guys is like death.
So with back to Cincinnati, Burrow appears to be the starter. You went through this, you know, drafting a quarterback in Steve McNair, drafting Vince Young. How difficult is it to go through the process of knowing that, all right, you got to hit reset, you're going to bring in this young guy, but you had the luxury with McNair that he could sit, he could learn, he didn't have to start right away. I think you had Chris Chandler in there that was able to play before McNair takes over. And with Vince, I think the idea was that you had some veterans that would play and then Vince would eventually take the starter. But it looks like it's going to be Burrow from day one. How scary is that as somebody running a franchise to know that you just have to rely on the young rookie?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's scary for the franchise, scary for the coach, and really scary for Burrow. I mean, what he's getting into, you know, he's going from the best team in college to maybe the worst team in the NFL. I mean, it's and I'm not sure there's a great deal of difference. So it's going to be hard for him. That's there's no secret there. And it's going to take him time. But this is what you go through with quarterbacks, and this is why I always, and you guys have heard me say this 100 times, when you bring in a franchise quarterback for you, you need to classify what that is. What is a franchise quarterback for me? You know, Cincinnati's going to say, like everybody else, yeah, we want to win the Super Bowl, you know, 10 straight times. Well, no kidding. But really, what are you able to live with? What is it that will keep you on a yearly basis being a contender? And you know, in my opinion, somebody like Dalton may have been that guy. Not that Burroughs isn't. I'm not saying that. But I want to say this is maybe right off of the top of my head, this is maybe the third or fourth or fifth number one pick that Cincinnati's had, and I can't remember any of them really, really working out. You know, even the Kajana Carter, a running back, came in, got hurt, and his career was over.
Keely Smith.
So it's tough.
Keely Smith, Carson Palmer. I mean, Carson Palmer was probably the closest one to work out, and he got hurt as well in that playoff game against Pittsburgh.
And decided to leave. You know, I mean, he was out of there. He'd had enough. And so it's a difficult place. Well, you know better than anybody, right? That's, you know.
I lived in Cincinnati when they were known as the Bungles and not the Bengals. The GM, Floyd Reese, here with us on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Floyd, the Titans reportedly signed Jonathan Joseph, 36-year-old cornerback, yesterday. When you think of this move for the Titans and for Jonathan Joseph, do you feel like this is more of an off-the-field move to maybe be a mentor to Christian Fulton and the fact that Jonathan Joseph played for Mike Vrabel when he was assistant in Houston?
You know, from what I understand, now I don't know the kid, but from what I understand, he's supposed to be really good in the locker room, good off the field, you know, quality guy, which will be important, as we well know, with this locker room. You know, those kind of, you have to be a person like that to fit in. That being said, I think he's a great veteran backup, you know, a veteran presence. And he's going to be able to go in there with a limited amount of reps because, you know, the rookie's going to need him. With a limited amount of reps, he'll be able to play, you know, all three spots, will be able to back up all three spots, will be smart enough if he gets in there to give direction if need be, you know, and allow the rookie to mature along the way. You know, help maybe tutor him along, if you will. So I really like the idea. You know, I think, as I said yesterday, I think it maybe kicks Logan Ryan, you know, one step closer to not being here. But now on top of this, if they were to get Logan back, I mean, you would feel great about your secondary and where your corners are.
Well, if they don't bring back Logan Ryan, are you as confused as a lot of us as to why the Titans have elected to not bring him back, as valuable as he's been to the Titans, both on the field and off the field over the last 3 years?
Yeah. I mean, he and, you know, the other favorite topic for us, Clowney, you know, are kind of in the same boat here. Very different, but yet very similar results. You know, they wanted a certain amount of money. It just wasn't there. And so now they're both kind of caught in a situation where, okay, I can't get that money. What money can I get? Am I willing to stay here or go someplace else for that amount of money? Do I wait until camp and see if somebody gets hurt and maybe get a chance to make a little bit more money? Exactly where am I going to be? It's kind of sad for Logan after the year he had to be in that situation. You know, he should be with the team. Now, is he, and I think we're seeing in this draft and just in general, you know, speed is becoming more and more of an issue. You know, speed has always been the killer in the NFL. And if you knew a guy could run, it always affected you. Because the most embarrassing thing in the NFL, of course, is to have somebody line up and just run by you. Because you're a world-class athlete. Those kinds of things don't happen to you. Well, unfortunately, they do. And speed is becoming more and more important. Heck, we just drafted a running back that ran a 4.3 something or other. You know, so I think we're seeing more and more of that. And as we well know, you know, if Logan had a hiccup, it was the fact that he couldn't, you know, he was never a blazer. But, you know, he's not as fast now as he once was.
Floyd Reese with us, Jared in the GM, 2-6 weekdays on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Floyd, I know you had a chance to talk to John Robinson, as we did on Darren Donick and Chase. And one thing that I'm continuing to scratch my head on is why they didn't take a wide receiver in the draft. I know that they have those weapons on this offense, but I still think it's an area of need. How would you address the receiver position with the Titans right now?
You know, I don't sense the need as much. I mean, this is the way I looked at it. What's more important, a fourth or a fifth receiver or a backup running back? You know, which is more important, a potential starting right tackle or a fourth or fifth receiver? And when I look at it like that, I say, oh, no, we had to have the running back. You know, we had to have the tackle. We certainly needed the corner. So you say, okay, well, who would you not draft? You know, would you not draft your third defensive tackle to get your fourth or fifth receiver? You know, I just don't see that. So I look at it and I say, yeah, I mean, just from a sheer number standpoint, they did the right thing. If they would have had a couple more of those draft choices, then I would imagine receiver would have been one of those. But unfortunately, they just didn't have those choices. And you know, when you have a limited number of choices and you're drafting at 29, I mean, you really have to be frugal and you really have to be focused and on point with what you do with those draft choices, because you don't have enough options to mess one up along the way.
He is the GM, Floyd Reese. Again, you can hear him alongside Jared Stillman weekdays from 2-6. Floyd, good to talk to you. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Floyd.
He makes a good point, and I've been sitting here worrying about receiver because you just – what if somebody gets hurt? What if A.J. Brown has a little bit of a sophomore slump? You know, you want to find another weapon. What if Corey Davis doesn't come back? That's kind of why I'm looking at it this way. But he does make a good point that they just had other needs and they didn't have the draft capital. But it was such a deep receiver class. That's my only thing.
Well, I'm going to echo what Floyd said. I know you and Darren have been on the drafter receiver train, but you know, when they were picking there at 61, the run of receivers had already gone. So right. You weren't going to get one of those premier second-round receivers, as our cat Maverick is trying to get at the radio cords here.
Hi, Maverick.
Yeah, he says hello back. You know, then to his point, do you not take Laurel Murchison and go with James Prochet out of SMU? What can you realistically expect out of someone like Prochet? So, you know, if I'm John Robinson, I do something similar at the receiver position that you just did with cornerback, and you go out and find a veteran guy who can fill a role for you for a year, and you go back into the receiver market in 2021, whether that's in draft, free agency, or both.
Yeah, and I feel like that there's a chance that happens. I don't think John Robinson is done by any means with some of these free agent signings, just like we saw yesterday, which the Titans have not officially announced, but I would imagine that is coming. It is the rundown here on ESPN 102.5, the game. Strong words coming from a legendary Hall of Fame quarterback. We will tell you who and what was said when we come back on the rundown here on ESPN 102.5, the game. The coronavirus has impacted everyone in America, including millions of families who have lost their paychecks and can no longer afford to put food on their tables. You can make a difference in this urgent fight against hunger. Text FEED to 95819, and a donation link will be sent immediately to your phone. You can also donate to RadioCares.org. Welcome back into the rundown. I'm Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson is our producer from the Wholesale Inc. Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. So, Ryan, we all know that the Green Bay Packers, they selected Jordan Love in the first round, and a lot of people go, why? You have Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has plenty left in the tank. He has several more good years left, according to all the experts that know more than I do. Yet, they decide to do exactly what they did when they drafted Aaron Rodgers, and that is they went ahead and just did it. So what does Aaron Rodgers think about it? Well, the guy that Aaron Rodgers eventually replaced, Brett Favre, the Hall of Famer, feels that they may have burnt a bridge with their quarterback.
Green Bay's not going anywhere without Aaron Rodgers in the next few years. If he plays like we expect him to play, they got a shot with or without a first-round receiver. He's that good. So I would do all I could to not burn that bridge. And I don't think that they did that. I think that they burned a bridge that it's going to be hard to overcome.
Ryan, do you agree or disagree with Brett Favre?
Well, it's hard to disagree with Brett Favre because Brett Favre has actually talked with Aaron Rodgers. And if he's saying that the Packers have burned a bridge with Aaron Rodgers, then he's speaking on knowledge of how Aaron Rodgers feels. Credit to Aaron Rodgers for reaching out to Jordan Love. You know, it's not Jordan Love's fault that the Packers made this decision. I think that's going to be
just like it wasn't Aaron Rodgers' fault when this happened before.
Right, and hopefully Jordan Love is mentally strong enough to get through all this over the next handful of years and be, you know, a good quarterback in the league when it's his time to be a starter. But, yeah, I do think they burned a bridge, but here's the thing. He's not going anywhere. You know, yeah. All these people on Twitter are like, oh, well, Aaron Rodgers should request a trade. The Packers would have, I believe I have the number right, $80 million of cap space wrapped into Aaron Rodgers if they were to trade him because of dead cap and, you know, the timing of it if they did it, especially before June 1st. It's an absurd number in the next couple of years if they were to trade Aaron Rodgers. So he is going to be the Green Bay starter in 2020, and I would say probably 2021 as well. Who knows after that, because then the penalties decrease from there. You know, maybe in 2023 they can trade him. But the point is, you're still going to have Aaron Rodgers. And if Matt LaFleur drafted Jordan Love because he's tired of working with Aaron Rodgers, well, you know what, Matt LaFleur, grow up and – you know, get used to it, because Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Fame quarterback and you, sir, are not a Hall of Fame coach, even though you won 13 games last year.
Yeah.
So Matt LaFleur needs to suck it up and just deal with the fact that Aaron Rodgers, yes, he's a diva, but he's also a damn good quarterback. And you've shaken the hornet's nest on this one. So maybe they get motivated.
Still haven't gotten him weapons.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, yes, you say the word several in terms of how many more years that Aaron Rodgers has, but how many, truly, how many more Hall of Fame level seasons are we going to see out of Aaron Rodgers? I mean,
I think he's got at least three.
He's 36. I would say, man, it would be hard to commit beyond three more years of Hall of Fame level quarterbacking out of Aaron Rodgers. He's also been injury prone in his career. So, you know, yes, he's a legend, but I'm not going to sit here and assume that he's going to be like Tom Brady, who only had one significant injury in his career, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's 3 years left at least for him. He's been that good.
But to your point, they didn't draft anyone who is going to help Aaron Rodgers maximize his Hall of Fame caliber level of play in the next 3 years.
And that's where, if you're Rodgers, that's where you should be the most pissed. It's not that they've drafted your eventual replacement. It's that they didn't get you any help. And they're basically, maybe in his mind, setting this up for failure of like, well, you know I have something left, but you're not going to help me do anything with it. You're just going to be grooming the guy that's going to take my job. And the difference in this situation and the Favre situation, Favre had been saying, you know, I'm going to retire. Or he'd been thinking about retirement. So the Packers didn't really have a choice to go ahead and find somebody that could be his replacement. And Rodgers fell to him because we all know the tumble he took in the first round in that draft. And then Rodgers benefited from sitting for a few years. So I don't know if Aaron Rodgers has the career that he has if he doesn't sit behind Brett Favre. And I don't think Brett Favre was really doing him, you know, was, all right, Aaron, what did you learn today? You want me to write this out for you, to help you out? No, he wasn't doing that. And Aaron Rodgers shouldn't do that for Jordan Love. But I understand why Aaron Rodgers would be upset. And Tim Hasselbeck joined us yesterday on Darren Donick and Chase and said that Rodgers should be furious.
You were 13-3 last year, and outside of Davante Adams, you really had a bunch of young wide receivers that were trying to find their way with Alan Lazard and EQ Brown and all these guys, okay? And then you also get worse at tight end because Jimmy Graham moves on. Like, I just – like, Aaron – you know, look, I think Aaron can kind of be abrasive and, you know, don't always love the way he handles things, but he should be furious. And I will say this, I will say, like, in terms of stuff, like, you never know how these guys, like, you know, in 2016 when Kevin Byard was drafted in the third round, you know, there were probably somebody, you know, like, oh, wow, third round for Kevin Byard, you know. He's outperformed that, like, crazy. Like, people weren't like, can you believe they got him only in the third round? Like, that wasn't the feeling. You know what I mean? So, look, the South could be wrong. The Packers could be wrong. But I think one of the things that's, like, almost, like, not debatable is that, like, you're wasting the best years of Aaron Rodgers by drafting a quarterback in the first round after going 13-3 and being tied to him, as you said, Darren, with his contract the way they are.
You're wasting the best years of Aaron Rodgers by drafting a quarterback. Strong words, in my opinion, by my best friend Tim Hasselbeck, but I don't know if I completely disagree. Like I said, I think he's got at least 3 years left in the tank. What do you think?
I think he's got at least 3 years left in the tank, but at what level? That I think that's my point. And, you know, like I said the other day, the A.J. Dillon pick is a bigger head scratcher than, to me, or as much of a head scratcher as the Jordan Love pick. You know, if you're trading up to get Jordan Love, why don't you spend another pick like next out of next year's draft class? Say, you know, you use next year's second round pick to jump up from 62 to into the 40s or in the 30s to go get the receiver that Aaron Rodgers needs, because look, with the Jordan Love pick, that is a future asset. So why not give up a future asset to go get something that can help you right now? I don't know. It came across as very hard-headed from Green Bay towards Aaron Rodgers. Almost like, hey, if you want to keep being elite, you're going to have to keep producing with the weapons that you currently have instead of trying to help out your Hall of Fame quarterback to go win a Super Bowl as – you are now a step behind New Orleans and San Francisco in the NFC. And if you had to ask me today who wins the NFC North, it's not Green Bay, it's Minnesota. And big part of that is the 2020 draft. Minnesota crushed it with all their picks. They got a lot of players that can go in there and help them in 2020, whereas Green Bay has their first-round pick on the sidelines all season long unless Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, and a backup running back to Aaron Jones. It's just a total head-scratcher, and if I was a Packers fan, I would be irate right now.
I'm not going to feel sorry for him because he won a Super Bowl, and he's a Hall of Famer no matter what, and in my opinion, doesn't help himself with the diva aspect of his game. But I will use this comparison that I do feel like this is almost like LeBron James in Cleveland before he left for Miami of, I'm the only guy here. You're not getting me any help. Like, I can't do it all by myself. Yeah, I'm the greatest player in the game right now, but you gotta put some pieces around me. And so, I feel like that's what Aaron Rodgers, or how he feels.
So do you think Matt LaFleur should type out a public apology to Aaron Rodgers in Comic Sans font, a la Dan Gilbert?
That would be fantastic.
Although Dan Gilbert's wasn't an apology. It was guaranteeing that the Cavaliers were going to win an NBA title before LeBron James would, and that was one of the dumbest things he's ever done.
Yes. Yes, it was. What do you think happens if Mike McCarthy goes to Dallas and wins a Super Bowl with them? Does that change your perception of anything?
What do you mean?
Because it was always, everybody looked at Rodgers and they said McCarthy was overrated, which I'm one of those people. I kind of look at him as maybe a little overrated, but I still think he's a good coach. Like, I'm glad as a Cowboys fan to have him in Dallas. I think he is a big upgrade over Jason Garrett. But if he goes to Dallas with the team that they've built there, because I like the pieces, I like the draft, and they win in the next few years, does that change your perception of anything between when Mike McCarthy was in Green Bay?
I think it would have
that
to.
He did it without Rodgers.
I think it would have to debunk the thought that Mike McCarthy was an overrated coach. If Mike McCarthy becomes the first coach since Jimmy Johnson to lead the Cowboys to a Super Bowl, and, you know, in that fishbowl.
Barry Switzer, actually.
Barry
Switzer won with Jimmy's team, but after Jimmy was fired, they hired Barry Switzer, and Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl.
I defer to the Cowboys fan in this moment. But if you're Mike McCarthy in that fishbowl in Dallas, yes, that is a monster achievement if you overcome, you know, having to deal with Jerry Jones on a daily basis, and you take the Cowboys to the Super Bowl and win it. Yeah, that would change my perception of Mike McCarthy. I agree with you. Maybe he was a little overrated in Green Bay and was propped up by Aaron Rodgers. But if he were to win the whole stinking thing in Dallas, yeah, then you think of Mike McCarthy as a much better coach than a lot of people think of him as right now.
See, I'll admit, this was my reaction when I heard he was going to be the head coach of the Cowboys. Publicly, on the outside, I was like, okay, yeah, that's an upgrade. Don't love it, but okay, I like it. It's fine. On the inside, I'm thinking, you know what? This might actually be really good. Dude's won a Super Bowl. Second time around, you know, he took a year off. You always see, but a lot of times you see a coach that when they go to their second stop, it looks better than the first. He's in Dallas. He's got the resources from Jerry Jones. You know, Jerry's not afraid to spend money. They got a good team, just need to add a few more pieces. So internally, I was pretty excited, and I still am. I just need to see it play out. But I think it would be interesting to revisit this conversation, you know, if depending on the season the Cowboys have and the season that the Packers have, of, okay, who's not that Rodgers is overrated by any means, but who needed who more?
Well, it's a great point, but I think you can also throw Matt LaFleur into that conversation as well. A year from now, what does this look like if the Packers go 7-9 in 2020 and they don't even sniff a playoff spot? Aaron Rodgers has a down season. The Cowboys win the NFC East, they make a playoff run, then I think a lot of people in Green Bay are going to be pointing the finger at Matt LaFleur and not Aaron Rodgers because of what Matt LaFleur and Ted Thompson did in the draft this year, as opposed to, you know, actually blaming Aaron Rodgers, who is a god up there.
Yep, I agree with that. It is the Rundown. Are you working from home during the COVID-19 pandemic? Stream us from anywhere. Download the Game Nashville app, enable our Alexa skill or Google Home, and ask to play 102.5 The Game or stream from our website, thegamenashville.com. There is a report out of the NCAA that could be good for student athletes. We'll tell you about that, plus our question of the day. It's the Rundown, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Jason McCabe, Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson here on the Rundown. So, Ryan, the NCAA, look, we've had this discussion for years on whether there should be pay for play or, you know, paid for name and likeness, all of that stuff. The NCAA, there's a group that they said Wednesday they support a proposal to allow college athletes to sign endorsement contracts and receive payment for other work, provided that the schools they attend are not involved in any of the payments. What are your thoughts on this? This feels like the step in the right direction that they should have made years ago.
Well, my first thought was, does this mean that NCAA football and EA Sports is coming back?
I don't believe so.
No. I mean, Val Ackerman from the Big East said yesterday that group licensing, video games, replica jerseys, et cetera, is, quote, unworkable in college sports, largely because it does not have a union or bargaining unit. So, you know, that was my first thought of, yes, NCAA football. And then I see that and I'm like, no, bring it back. You know, I don't know how many athletes this is truly going to impact. You know, maybe the likes of Trevor Lawrence, you know, Joe Burrow, when Johnny Manziel was in college. You know, you think of the best college football players or college basketball players, Zion Williamson, you know, last season at Duke. You think of individuals like that who would make by far the most money, and then there's probably a pretty steep fall off after that, because, you know, I don't think, you know, Andrew Thomas, a tackle at Georgia, the fourth overall pick, I don't think he's going to be rolling in, you know, sponsorship dough at all. You know, I think it's going to be a very limited number of athletes who get paid big, and then, you know, undisclosed number, you know, a couple thousand athletes that make a couple thousand dollars, and then it just kind of trickles down from there. That's my thought. But look, these colleges benefit greatly from these athletes. You think of Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence at Clemson and what those two individuals did just for that brand. You think of all the great players at Alabama that have gone through there and have done for that brand, and make the universities benefit from it because more kids want to go to those schools because they want to be a part of a football winner every fall. So it's, like you said, it's something that's been long overdue, and we'll see if this proposal goes through. I would be surprised if it doesn't.
Yeah, I think it will too. And you know, like yesterday I was playing Madden, and they have the career mode where you can be the quarterback and you play through the college football playoffs. And so you can select a college football team to actually play on. And it's the uniforms and the logos and everything. It's not every team, but it's the big names. It's LSU, it's Florida, it's Florida State, USC. And you see those names, and they even have Texas Tech. Well, why would they have Texas Tech? Oh, Pat Mahomes. They have those teams because you recognize them because of their success in some of the players that have come through there. And so I'm sitting there going, yeah, I know they don't actually have real players, just like the old NCAA football games, but these schools made money off this. And they are known, and people are fans of them because of the players that have come through there that – yes, they got a scholarship, but, you know, that's all they got, you know, so, or legally. But, but you know, that's the thing that has always bothered me. And I believe that it's a big pie, and the athletes should get a piece of that pie. Because what's happening right now, like with the G League, you have some of these top prospects that are signing with the G League because they're getting paid. They're making money. And so if that keeps happening and it spills over to other sports – I mean, if the XFL had lasted, I believe that was going to happen. You already saw it with the player from West Virginia that ended up getting drafted. I'm blanking on his name right now, but he was ineligible at West Virginia, so he goes and he plays in the XFL, and it helped him. You're going to have more players like that want to do that with other leagues, and if there's another football league that starts up, I could see that being possible. So they're going to have to figure this out. Otherwise, they're going to lose some talent. That's just my opinion.
I agree, and if only a select handful of athletes are benefiting from that, and you know, we always see a lot of, you know, highly recruited players go into college football, think they are, you know, Mr. Everything, think they're a bigger star than they actually are, and they see, you know, another athlete get paid a lot more than they might, then they may get jealous and say, you know what, you know, Trevor Lawrence is getting paid X amount, I'll just go to the NFL and make as much as he is, you know, trying to play that game as well. I wouldn't be surprised to see that.
Real quick, Ryan, let's wrap it up with something fun. You've been doing these questions of the day on social media, and you wanted to bring this one up today, and I think it's a good one. So what do we got?
What would you legitimately give up, and I mean legitimately give up, to watch live sports in pre-COVID-19 form?
So basically how it was.
Correct. What would you give up to go back, you Ooh. Know, 2 months and watch live sports like normal?
Now, do I have to give this up forever or just like for a year?
You can put a time frame on it. You could say, you know, I would give up, say, alcohol for a year. Or you could say, I would give up my pinky toe. You can't give up your pinky toe for a year because once your pinky toe is gone, it is gone. So if you're
giving
up
your coffee table anymore.
Well, silver lining. That's your silver linings playbook right there. You know, if you want to give up your pinky toe and you want to go the rest of your life without your pinky toe just so you can get live sports right now, then more power to you. You could go to extremes and say, I would give up my relationship to watch sports pre-COVID-19 form.
Now, depends on who that person is.
I would not say that. No. But there That's could good. Be someone out there that would say, you know what, things aren't working out as well as I hoped with said girlfriend or said boyfriend. I'm going to give up that relationship so I can watch my sports like they were 2 months ago.
I would give up alcohol for a year. I could do that.
So you would go for a year of sobriety
Yep.
to get sports back right now and watch playoff hockey tonight.
Yep. I'd probably lose weight doing that, so that'd be good. There'd be a lot of positives involved.
Yeah, you'd save some brain cells too.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd screw that up somewhere.
Mm.
I'd lose those. But yeah, that's what I would do. What about you?
You'd help your liver.
I would. It'd be good. I mean, it would be a positive.
What would I give up? I've been thinking a lot about this over the last day, and I haven't really settled on anything. But you know what? If I did have to give up something, I think I would give up my hair to get live sports back.
You give up your hair?
I would go permanently bald, Robbie Stanley style, and live life that way so we can watch playoff hockey tonight. So I would go permanently bald to get that.
I have to read this. Joseph in Bellevue, I would reverse my vasectomy to see live sports. That's a walk-off. That's
well done, Joseph and Bellevue.
That's gonna do it. That's a walk-off. So you can respond to that on at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. For Ryan Porth and Marquise Munson, I am Chase McCabe. That's going to do it for the rundown. Stick around. Darren Donick and Chase is next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.